How's it going, everybody? Brian Elvers and Dave Meltzer here. Wrestling Observer Radio, January 19, 2026. Figure4Online.com/WrestlingObserver.com. It is the anniversary of Koloff San Martino.
Yeah, 55th anniversary.
55 years. God damn, I'm old. Yes, 55 years ago.
Who says before you were born? Doesn't
I know, barely. Barely.
Yeah, well.
Four years?
Hey, I remember reading the magazines when it happened. I had actually just started being a wrestling fan because my friends were, and they used to just rave about, they were from, my friends who introduced me to wrestling, lived in, the East Coast. They lived in Baltimore. And, so when they moved to San Jose, you know, it was just like, you know, Bruno Sammartino was it for them. You know, they had grown up with him as champion. And they were always telling me about him, and I'd go to the magazines, and I mean, he was the guy, like, in all the magazines, he was always on the cover, you know, 7.5 years world champion, won the title from Buddy Rogers in 47 seconds. I mean, it was like this myth, you know, strongest man in the world, you know, the whole, you know, the whole bit, right? And then, like, I had only been, I had just started being a fan, but it was like probably 3 months after that match, because of the way the magazines lagged, I remember we went to the newsstand, and every magazine on the cover was just like, as we went in one day, is Ivan Koloff beats Bruno Sammartino. And they were like in horror, in shock. And I kind of was too, but it's not like I had lived through the whole reign. Like, I had really barely known about the reign, other than like stuff that I had read, you know, in the previous month or two. But they had lived through it, and the idea of Bruno losing was just completely unfathomable, you know? Especially, like, Ivan Koloff. Not that, like, he wasn't fearsome or he wasn't a top guy, because they knew him, I knew him, you know? But just, I guess, just the idea that Bruno would lose, and then, like, immediately, you know, lose to Morales, and then we were kind of, okay, I get it. I mean, I didn't know Bruno had asked out, you know, probably... I couldn't even tell you how you know when I knew that. I mean, I probably knew it by the mid 70s, I'm sure, because people didn't talk like that back then. But I mean, it, you know, but back then, you know, I, you know, it was just like he lost and then he sort of disappeared. We all kind of figured he'd win it back in a month, and he never challenged. And they had the Shea Stadium match with him and Morales that was a draw, and then you know, then he beat Stasiak, which actually was kind of stunning at the time that they went back to him, because by that point we figured, you know, he's old and he ain't getting the title back or anything. It's going to be somebody else. And, you know, he got the title back because he was Bruno Sammartino. But yeah, you know, famous, you know, really one of the most famous matches, and also, you know, the famous one where, you know, Bruno's talked about it a million times. You know, he got beat with a knee drop, and he thought that they ruptured his eardrum. Because he couldn't hear a thing.
The place went silent.
The place went silent, yeah. There is a tape of that match, but it's only video. There's no audio to it. So
that is the audio. They went silent.
No, I mean, the whole match.
Oh.
But, I mean, the one thing that like, impressed me in that match is, like, they were two guys that were really, like, thick guys, you know, like, really bulky guys, and they both moved really fast, and they worked at a really fast pace. It was like, it's not a lot of fancy moves, but they, you know, it was very fast paced and quick guys. So I mean, that was kind of impressive. You know, even now it probably would look pretty decent. But yeah, like, one of my earliest wrestling magazine memories was the magazine, you know, that Ivan Koloff beat Bruno Sammartino. So there you go.
You know, I've watched a lot of older matches, mostly stuff in the early to mid 80s, but I've gone back and watched a lot. And one of the things I've noticed is a lot of these matches, like the real good workers, they move fast. And
oh yeah, well, Jack Briscoe and those guys, they were really good athletes.
I think part of it is, you know, nowadays people work a lot more snug nowadays, and they do a lot more lifting, and they do a lot of spots that involve, like, hey, I'm going to deadlift you, or I'm going to do some power move or whatever. And, you know, back then, the whole idea was to work very light. And I think the
not Fritz Von Erich.
Well, I'm not talking about like hitting somebody, but I mean you wouldn't grab somebody and pull them and push them really hard, hold their arm real tight. I think there was a different. The matches were more aerobic back then. They're much more anaerobic today, and I think that those wrestlers that were regularly working a schedule. I mean, God, there were, and you mentioned because they were bulky guys. I mean, you watch some of these guys in the 80s, that they're heavy guys. And, you know, Adrian Adonis, whoever, it's actually astonishing how they'll just go the entire match.
Adrian Adonis was unusual.
You know, well, he was like, a great athlete.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, Adrian Adonis was like Bobby Eaton or Ric Flair, or, you know, guys like that. That was elite level. I mean, that'd be, you know, like today's Will Ospreay. I'm sure in 20 years people watch Will Ospreay and just go like, oh my God, how does someone do all that stuff? You know, but, you know, like, yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, Adrian Adonis never had the good body, but, and was never a tippy top guy, but he was an awesome worker. I watched him live so many times. His stuff looked good. His selling was good. Him and Jesse, who was not good at all in the ring, great talker, fantastic talker, but Adrian and Jesse Ventura were a really entertaining tag team. And Adrian was a good talker too, but Jesse was like a awesome talker. He was one of those guys where when he did his promo, I mean, like, you looked forward to that promo because it was always going to be good. And but in the ring, you know, I mean, Adrian probably did 70-80% of the work. I mean, Jesse would just do these clubbering things to the back and stuff, and then Adrian's flying around and making everybody look fantastic. You know, with not a great body or you know, or anything like that. He had like a body that looked like he wouldn't be moving very well, and he actually, you know, he moved phenomenal.
So there's a billboard up at the arena in Saudi Arabia for the Royal Rumble, and all of the major stars are on it, Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns, but also Thea Hale, Tatum Paxley, Ethan Page, Oba Femi, and Lola Vice, all on the billboard.
Yeah, I mean, I presume that they're all in the Rumble. I mean, you always have to add women. There's not 30 women on the main roster, so you have to bring in women, you know, from either NXT or from somewhere else. With the guys, you know, you can pick and choose. There's a lot of guys. But, I mean, I expected Oba Femi would be in it, and he's probably going to throw a whole bunch of people out. I mean, this is going to be, it's probably going to be his coming out party, so to speak. I would presume he's in that old role, you know, where Kane or Braun Strowman or whatever, where, you know, they're throwing a whole bunch of guys out and they don't win, but they, you know, they're the ones that you get the big buzz the night of the show.
What's going on in the house show circuit? Braun Breaker, Javon Evans main events? Well,
no,
opening matches, the setup tag matches.
Yeah. But the thing is that they do have Javon, you know, Javon or Braun Breaker. When Reed interferes for a DQ, and then Punk makes the save, and it's Punk and Javon beating Reed and Breaker when Punk beats Reed. So they've been doing that. They opened in Poland, but in other places they were, you know, later on the card. But they, I'm not sure if they've been last. They probably have in some cities. You know, the usual last is Cody and Drew. And Cody and Drew is interesting because, you know, because they're in Europe and everything, and it might be the same in the United States, but they come out and everyone's cheering for Drew, and Drew just, you know, they don't switch and they don't do anything. Drew just goes in there and cuts the promo, and the thing that's pretty clever is he just goes, you know, in his promo, it's like, I'm not wrestling tonight, I'm leaving. And then, you know, he walks out with a belt, and then Cody goes out there with him and beats his ass and throws him back in. And, you know, the way they do it, between that and the promo, the crowd got completely behind Cody in most cases. There might be exceptions, but I know that in most cases that was the case. I did not hear about Nottingham tonight, so I don't know. That might have been a tougher one, but they do get the crowd to cheer Cody, and then finishes just a low blow DQ to save the title, and then Cody splashes him through a table after. So you know, those are the two highlights, I guess, of the house shows. But yeah, I mean, it tells you that they're pretty high on Javon Evans if he's out there teaming with Punk and working with Braun Breaker and Bronson Reed. I mean, that's like the top guys on the Raw brand and winning. Of course, you know, on these overseas tours, the babyfaces always win. You know, I mean, that's part of the deal. You know, not unless it's like, you know, they could have beat Javon, because if there's a big discrepancy in star power, they might let the heels win. I mean, Raquel Rodriguez is beating Bayley on those shows. So that just kind of tells you. But, you know, Bayley's job right now in their mind, I think, is just to put people over. So, you know, that makes sense, I suppose. Although I'm sure in England and throughout Europe, for that matter, Bayley's like super over babyface.
All right. So the TNA AMC debut on Thursday. We won't have numbers for a while. Do we know anything about that show?
No, I don't. I expect numbers on Tuesday, maybe Wednesday. I mean, we're not going to get anything. Normally, we'd get it at the Thursday ratings on a Monday, but with the holiday, I think that it's going to be Tuesday at the earliest. So, I mean, whatever. The first week number is like when it's interesting, but it doesn't really mean anything. The number doesn't mean anything till week three. Week three, you see if, like, you know, where, you know, because there was a lot of hype for the first week. They might have done well, and I mean, if they stay doing well, that's a good thing. But, you know, if let's say they do 350,000 viewers, okay, and everyone's like, oh my god, they're ahead of Collision, it's like, it doesn't mean anything, you know, for a couple of weeks, you know, because we don't know where this is going to level up at. But but we should get a number on Tuesday. I don't know what it's going to mean. AJ Styles was on the show, helped, show sucked. That first show.
Horrible.
Yeah, just a real bad first impression. That women's match was some kind of awful.
It's actually amazing, because I don't watch all of the weekly TV, but I've watched the weekly TV, and I watch all of the pay-per-views, and I have friends who watch all of the weekly TV. And, like, this is no defense, because most people were going to try this out because they haven't been watching TNA, but everybody was like, this show was just, like, horrible.
It's a bad effort.
It was the worst show in years. I mean, normally the television is far better than that. The pay-per-view on Saturday night was a good pay-per-view. It wasn't like a, you know, a blow-away best show of the year or anything like that. But, you know, aside from, I guess it was the Ryan Nemeth match with Mara Shade, which only went like 3 minutes.
Well, I figured that match was going to be a joke anyway.
But, I mean, everything else on the show, I mean, I'll do a quick review here, because Vinny and I did a whole show review a couple hours ago, but AJ Francis beat Rich Swann, and this was a really good opener. I mean, AJ Francis had a real good night. You know, he worked well as a heel. The fans didn't just heckle him the entire time. Rich Swann looked really good.
Yeah, he's always good.
They had a spot where Rich Swann, AJ Francis goes for a powerbomb, and Rich Swann flips over his back on the powerbomb, and instead of going for like the sunset flip or the code red, he turned into a destroyer. And this bump that AJ Francis took for this destroyer was incredible. So they got this is awesome chance. It was a really good match. And then AJ hit the face first choke slam, and a normal choke slam pinned him. And it was a good match. Ollie and the Drifter actually was not a good match, and it wasn't bad. It's just like nothing happened, and there was interference.
That's, you know, Ali's like probably the best wrestler they got.
He is, but like the Drifter was just sort of there, and then they only went a few minutes, and then we had the referee yanked out of the ring by Agent Zero. It was one of those matches, and then
House of Torture. I think that you can get like one of those on a show, but everybody tries to put three on, and then it's like just so annoying.
So he gets yanked out, or the ref gets yanked out, and then tries to eject Agent Zero, but then Tasha Steelz gets in the ring. She tries to hit the Drifter with a guitar. He grabs her, goes to chokeslam her. Ali gets a guitar, hits him with the guitar. There's guitar pieces all over the ring. The referee returns, counts the pin anyway. This was, at best, fine. Then we had the JDC Eddie Edwards retirement match, which was a good match. Fans, you know, chanted Let's Go Dango. They were into it. It was kind of more an old school. It reminded me of if you watch these two have a match like in one of those Ohio Valley shows where they're very good technically, but it's not particularly an exciting match, and just very basic stuff, heat, comeback. And they actually spoofed the John Cena finish. Eddie put him in a sleeper, and JDC smiled, and he was going to tap, but then he fought out, and put on a lion tamer, because of course that was his biggest career moment ever, that win over Jericho. And he hit a code breaker, went back and forth, and then Eddie hit the Boston knee party for a near fall. He kicked out of that. Eddie hit the diehard driver. He kicked out of that. And then Dango pretty much told him, come on, and he hit one more knee and pinned him. And all the wrestlers came out on the ramp. They gave him a standing ovation. He saluted everybody, shook hands with the announcers, and the people in the front row posed. It was a nice farewell. Obviously, it wasn't going to be Tanahashi's retirement or the John Cena retirement, but for the retirement of a guy that, you know, he'd been on the show for a long time and the people like him, it was good.
He'd been with him for a while.
Yeah.
Did you ever see the retirement for Sumi Sakai?
I don't think so.
It was in San Jose. Oh, it was funny because it was a New Japan show. It was phenomenal. And it was for someone who, like, had never worked for New Japan. I was like, that's when you really, so classy. But, you know, for someone who'd never even worked for the
Sounds promotion. Like everybody needs to retire in New Japan.
They do some things well. You know, I mean, as far as the post ceremony, they certainly don't scrimp on that one.
We had Zarya and Lei Ying Li for the Knockouts title. Mm-hmm. And it was all right. There was something about it that didn't really click with me for some reason. It kind of felt like Zarya, there was like a lot of hesitation. They'd do a spot and then sort of look at each other, like maybe they weren't sure what was going to happen next. It wasn't bad. Had a striking battle at the end. Lei hit the Warrior's Way, got the pin. Sol Ruka was at ringside and Zaya Brookside as well. And basically they did an interference spot here, but it was basically Elegance Brand came out and Sol and Zaya Brookside both hit dives on everybody. It was mostly a way to get more people on the show. It didn't actually play into the match at all, so it was less irritating than usual. But then Elena Black came out, the former Cora Jade, and she wants the next shot at the Knockouts title. Hardys and Righteous for the tag titles. This match was really good because the Hardys, they just know how to do a tag team match. And they're great at putting these matches together. And the Righteous had their working boots on, especially this Dutch. I mean, this guy tried a flip dive off the apron and just splatted on the outside. I mean, they did all this crazy stuff. And finally, they hit the senton for the pin, and the Hardys retained the titles. Cedric Alexander, Joe Hendry, Moose, another really good match. They did a spot where Moose took a backdrop onto the steel steps. And, of course, he's in storyline and legitimately had a lot of back injuries. And he sold this like he was done. And Carlos Silva and the doctor and Tasha Steele's all come out to check on him. And they're acting like he can't come back to the ring. So Joe Hendry and Cedric kind of work together for a while. And it sets up this big spot where Moose shoves away the doctor. He starts going to the ring. And man, these people went nuts for this guy. And he makes a big comeback. And he's selling his back the entire time. And it was really good. And then finally, at the end, Cedric tries a springboard. Moose spears him out of midair, goes for another spear, but his back gives out. Cedric gives him the lumbar check, but Hendry shoves him out of the way, hits his finish on Cedric, gets the pin. So it's kind of weird. Obviously, Leon Slater was supposed to be in this match, but he couldn't get his visa. And so this was supposed to be an X Division title match. But since he was out, it was just a three-way. Mm-hmm. And so they announced that Joe Hendry and Moose, no matter what happened, were both owed shots at the X Division title. And then Cedric got pinned. But he'll still get a shot down the road because he's owed, as is Moose. Then the main event was Santana Kazarian Texas Deathmatch, Nick Nemeth as special referee. This was miles better than the TV match they had.
The TV match wasn't bad. It wasn't
bad until the end.
Yeah.
When they, I don't know what happened. Like, they had a great finish, and then they kept going, and then it wasn't so great. But this one was very good. It was false count anywhere's, well, Texas Death Match, so they had crowd brawling and trash cans, and it was pretty much like your basic hardcore match, and ended up with Frankie hitting a cutter as, I guess the spot was, Santana goes up to the top of the post. He's going to do a dive to the outside. But in midair, Santana, he goes for the dive. Kazarian catches him in a cutter and puts him through a table. It's actually a great bump. So he got pinned. There was an earlier pin where, I forget what happened. Kazarian took a pile driver through some chairs. He got pinned. So they each got pinned once. The referee does the count after the pin. And both guys got up at 9. And then finally there at the end, Santana wrapped the barbed wire around his arm, hit his spin the block finish. Kazarian tried to make it up, but he slipped on the ropes, couldn't make it up by 10. So Santana retained the title. And then, of course, Nick raised Santana's hand because he was a guest referee, hit him with the danger zone, goes to cash in his trophy. It's funny, the fans are like, half of them are furious and half of them are excited because they want a title change. Mm-hmm. But Santana got to his feet, lays him out with spin the block, so there was no cash in. You could hear fans, there were some fans booing, and so they hit his music real fast, and then they all cheered again. But Santana retained the title. Nick Nemeth still has the ability to cash in. And it was a good, solid show. Much, much better than the television. And they got some stuff set up for next week, including Elena Black's first promo in TNA. She signed a one-year deal. And I guess there's also going to be a Feast or Fired match. So we're doing that again.
Yeah.
Someone's getting fired. So. Mm-hmm. All right, we'll talk later about SmackDown and Collision, but a couple of other news notes first. Trey Miguel signed with AEW, and a few days later was released. He announced he is stepping away from the business, asked everybody to, I think he pretty much said, don't message me.
Don't message me, leave me alone.
Yeah.
Yeah, just leave me alone, I'm going to need some time.
Yep, so yeah. I guess we'll give him time. But. Yeah. No one's really saying much. But,
that's for sure. That's for sure. No one's saying a thing.
Well, some people are saying certain things, but my understanding is that whatever it is, it came from up above. I know there's a lot of rumors, but it had nothing to do with anybody in AEW, talent, anything like that. Something happened.
Or Tony Khan either.
Or Tony, yes. Something happened from way up, and he was released. So,
yeah.
That is the that is what we know at this point about Trey Miguel. All right, we had Arena Mexico and the AAA debut on Fox. Take us through those shows.
Yeah. So I'd only seen a couple of clips of things here and there, but the AAA, I guess the big Santos Escobar was back. He did an angle, I believe, with El Hijo de Dr. Wagner Jr., so they'll probably have a Latin American title match. They announced that Penta would be... What they're doing is they're taping 3 hours every 3 weeks, and it's going to air on YouTube every Saturday night, like 9 o'clock. It's going to be the regular time. And on Fox, you know, in... Fox in Mexico. It's not like Fox Network, but it uses the name. It's not as big as it sounds, but it's... I mean, because AEW's on Fox Sports Mexico as well, but they're two different channels, but the you know, it's something so it's like a 1 hour, it's a 1 hour TV show, although I believe the YouTube went about an hour and 10 minutes, and no Conan, just Corey Graves and John Layfield. I don't know if they said anything about that, but I mean, one of the things that was hilarious is they did a video about Dom, who was not the show. And the video, somebody at the video editing used A1 and...
AI.
That's right. I blew that one again, didn't I? AI, artificial intelligence, yeah. And the belt.
AI put an AEW title belt around his waist.
He was wearing an AEW title belt. Yes, the AEW title belt, not the AAA belt. So there you go. So that was kind of embarrassing. The thing that surprised me, you know, because the main event was Vikingo against El Grande Americano, and the winner was going to be the number one contender for Dominic when Dominic comes back, which shouldn't be too long. And, you know, Grande and Dominic just were a tag team, and they built up like they're going to be the new Gringo Locos and everything like that. And in like their first match, practically, they split up. So that's the feud, right? The Kingo's a heel, so obviously, and Dominic's a heel, although everybody cheers him. So obviously, you know, with the angle and everything like that, that Grande was going to win, except he didn't. Vikingo won, which makes no sense, but we'll see how the story goes. So Undertaker and Jeremy Borash book it, so maybe they're going to wheel it back, and it'll all make sense when all is said and done. But I would say it's a surprise finish, you know, just because, like I said, they literally had just done the split angle with the two, and now you're having the guy, instead of challenging for the title against the champion after doing the split, you beat him, and then you have him, you get beat him by another Rudo. So that was interesting. Arena Mexico.
There was also a spot in that match. I don't know if you guys saw this or not, but Grande Americano is down in the corner, and Vikingo does a spot where you stand, you kind of hold onto the ropes, and you stand on the person's neck in the corner, and you're supposed to hold the ropes to like take weight off the person's neck. Mm. Whatever happens, he's standing on this dude's neck, and El Grande hits the mat to signal to the ref, and the ref comes over, and El Grande goes something like, "Tell him to ease up on my neck, for fuck's sake." And so he starts to stand up, and he's like selling and everything like that, and he stands up, and he's facing the corner, and like right after telling the ref to tell this guy to ease up on his neck, this Vikingo freaking kicks him right in the back of his neck, and like, he doesn't even sell it. You just see him turn around, he looks at him, and he cusses this guy out in Spanish, and they keep going. I was like, oh my God, he was not happy about that spot. So, I don't know, man. He's up on everybody's neck. It's bad enough as it is.
I know, no kidding. So, Arena Mexico, they had three weekend shows. So, much to my surprise, the Friday show sold out well in advance. And I couldn't really say why, because most of the big draws were elsewhere. But they did bring in, you know, a lot of AEW guys. So they had a Blue Panther and Ultimo Guerrero match, which was a rematch. They had probably three or so singles matches, because, you know, around, but they had two ones at Arena Mexico last year. They were both excellent matches. And apparently this was the best of the three. And some people thought this was the best match on the show. And I've seen clips, and Blue Panther was just awesome in this match. And then Ricochet beat Titan in the main event to retain the national title. And in the other one, which is a big surprise, it was winner gets Claudio for the heavyweight title. It was Roderick Strong beating Hechicero. And I do not believe that this has ever happened in the entire history of wrestling, where a match at Arena Mexico sets up a title match that's being held in Arlington, Texas, because Roddy won the match at Arena Mexico, semi-main event, surprising everyone who thought Hechicero would win. And it's going to be Roderick Strong against Claudio on Collision Live this coming Saturday night. So that is interesting booking. You know, it's just different. You know, it's not neither good nor bad. It's just kind of weird that you would, you know, because in Mexico, usually the rule of thumb, if you're shooting an angle at Arena Mexico on a Friday, it leads to a match, you know, over the next couple of weeks in Arena Mexico. But this one is leading to a match in Arlington, Texas. So that was interesting. Hechicero might have gotten hurt, because tonight Hechicero was supposed to be in the main event in Monterrey, and they announced that he was injured on Friday. So you would led you to believe and just go, oh, he was probably hurt in this match. However, he was also booked in Villahermosa today as well. So I think that injury thing may or may not be legit. I guess we'll know, because he is booked on Wednesday for AEW. So if he's not wrestling, that's the reason why. If he is wrestling, then you know, that may be just an excuse, because he got double booked. Saturday, I did see Mystico and Mascara Dorada against Bandido and Commander, and it was very good. It was not as good as... I think it probably was not as good as you might expect, partially because Mystico and Dorada did a main event at Coliseo, and they had to rush out of the building because they ran another show at Arena Mexico on Saturday night, which was a sponsored show. Basically, they have these all the time. We never hear about them or anything like that, and Mystico's almost always on them. But those guys and several other guys that were on the Coliseo show, they had to rush to Arena Mexico to do their main event on the sponsored show as well. So they were, I mean, it's not like they didn't do a lot, but it wasn't as much as you might expect on a normal night. But Bandido beat Dorada clean with a 21-plex. So there you go. I don't know. I mean, he's beaten Dorada several times now. I think three times now. So I kind of didn't expect that to happen. But, you know, there's a lot of political stuff going on. So today's show, they did end up streaming it. And I did not see it, but I heard that Bandido and Templario for the CMLL middleweight title was a great match. The other thing I heard, it's about 20 minutes, the other thing I heard was that there was a situation with a fan that marred a part of the match. And they actually had one in another city as well this week. But this one, it's like there's a rule at Arena Mexico. I mean, it's a steadfast rule that, like, if a fan does anything to a wrestler, the wrestler never can hit the fan because they do not want any evidence that could be edited or whatever go viral of a CMLL wrestler hitting a fan, because, you know, these shows are family shows. These shows are tourist shows, and tourists don't want to go and see the idea of drunk fans brawling with wrestlers like LA Park would do or something. So, you know, you're not allowed to hit back. Security has to take care of it. Sometimes they're slow, but anyway. But apparently, like, you know, they had a hell of a match. No surprise. I think that those two guys, in fact, I know that they were both trained by Ultimo Guerrero, and they trained together, you know, like 10 years ago. So it's probably a match they both wanted because they started out together. So, but yeah, Friday was a sellout. Saturday was a sellout. I'm sure today was not a sellout because you're not going to sell 16,000 seats on a Sunday. But a, you know, pretty big weekend overall. And some of the talent is still going to be around on Monday and even Tuesday. You know, from some of the AEW talent will still be around for a couple of days. Gates of Agony were on all the shows. Lee Moriarty was on the shows. Lee Moriarty wrestled Zelwa for the Pure title. I actually have to make sure to watch this because I can just imagine, you know, the Arena Mexico referees, you know, trying to figure out this Pure title thing. Although I guess that they figured out the American stuff because, you know, when the AEW wrestlers wrestle and they do these tag matches, it's like, it's not two out of three, it's one fall, and it's the first pin. It's not like in a normal Lucha Libre where you have to pin two guys or the captain. So the flow is totally different. But the fans understand, okay, this is with Americans, so we're going to do, you know, they see American wrestling. We're going to do American style, and that's just what it is. It's just weird to have, like, completely different rules when AEW guys are on the show in their matches as in everybody else's matches. So, you know, that's one of the things there that's a little bit interesting.
All right, we'll get into TV here in a moment, but a couple of MMA notes. Conor McGregor's contract.
Yeah, so he is claiming that he has to renegotiate his contract because his contract is all about pay-per-view points. And there are no pay-per-view points anymore because there is no pay-per-view. Now, I remember that Dana White said when this was brought up and goes, well, we're going to, you know, adjust it based on how many people watch the show. But they don't have a baseline. You know what I mean? You don't, and they have to figure out what that means. But that is what he said when it was brought up. Well, what about these guys that get, pay-per-view points. So, yeah, that's... and also, Jorge Masvidal did an interview with MMA Junkie, and there's been rumors of Jorge Masvidal facing McGregor, which kind of makes sense in a way, because it's a big name who's not necessarily that good anymore, and I think that they want Conor to win. And, you know, but I don't know. I mean, Chandler's not that good either, but maybe he's good enough that Conor can't beat him. But, you know, they got off of that. Dana's just like, you know, we're not doing that one. And, I mean, Masvidal was asked, and he gave this answer of, I have something big to say, but I can't say it. I'm not going to confirm it. I'm not going to deny it. So it made the rumors even bigger that that will be the match, you know, at the White House on June the 14th. So, you know, they're big names and everything. Makes sense because, you know, Masvidal's campaigned for Trump. So I could see him. I could see guys like Masvidal, Colby Covington, McGregor, those type of guys, you know, all on the show. The Kayla Harrison, apparently her neck, you know, her neck injury and everything, apparently she's had this injury for years, and she just has been...
fighting with it?
Just her whole career, yeah. Yeah, she's had it for 5 years, I heard. I mean, it's just worsened and worsened and worsened, and she had no choice but to get surgery at this point. But she's been fighting, you know. It's kind of amazing with fighting with herniated discs in your neck and going 19-1. But she is, I mean, like, she's physically so much stronger than all the other women. But at the same time, you know, you would think that that would affect your strength, you know, between that and losing 40 pounds. It probably affects your strength, too.
All right, we got two shows to talk about here. The SmackDown show, 3 hours. And both of these shows, really up and down crowds, especially Collision's crowd was just dead. Except for the main event. Did they tape the main event first and then put it on
first.
Later? Okay.
Yeah, it was first.
Yeah, I found that out after I watched the show because it was like, this crowd was completely dead. And then they were so into that main event, especially the finish.
Yeah.
It was...
So I watched it. This is an interesting thing. I watched on Max because I was out of town, and the crowd sounded super loud the whole show, like
they
really loud.
Did not sound loud on TV.
Well, everyone says that the crowd that the noise, you know what I mean, like the sound is way better on Max. And I've watched shows back and forth, and there is a huge difference. But yeah, when I watched on Max, man, it was rocking the whole time. It was like, it just felt like. Every match was hot. The main event was the hottest, and the wrestling was really good in a lot of the matches. Not all of them, but a lot of them. It was like one of those shows with, you know, I mean, not a big marquee show, but all the action was good, except for the women's match wasn't particularly great or anything. And I think the squashes were the squashes, you know. I mean, they weren't.
Dude, that first, we'll start with Collision. That opening match with Andrade and Helico, I was like, this is what you're opening the show with? It's like not even just a squash, but like he hits a move and then he lifts a guy up at two.
Yeah.
And then he hits a move and he lifts a guy up at two. And then he hits a move and the announcers are like, why don't you just pin this guy? I'm like, oh my God. And then finally he did hit the Judas effect and the underhook neck breaker, but I didn't think this was a hot way to kick off this show at all.
No, it's Andrade, you know. I mean, it's his debut match. He's supposed to be a big star. And, I mean, he looked good. You know, I mean, he's a good wrestler. No doubt about that.
We had all three Rascals debuting, the three remaining Rascals.
Yeah.
And vowed to take over. They're doing smoking.
They're doing the same pot gimmick that they've been using for years and years. And it's a gimmick. You know, they were there and they invited Lexi to join them. And Lexi said, I'm working.
And they said, we are too.
Yeah.
They didn't convince her.
Yeah.
Eddie Kingston and Ortiz beat the Grizzled Young Vets. They went a long time.
This was a really good match, though. I mean, James Drake is, he's one of the most underrated wrestlers in the business. I mean, that guy was, he does everything well. And, you know, and I mean, nothing against Zach Gibson, who's good as well. But James Drake is really freaking good. They're just like one of these teams. It's like You know, I mean, Ortiz was real fired up. First match that he's had in God knows how long. Eddie was good. So, yeah, this match was like, I don't say it's better than I expected. I guess it was longer than I expected.
It was much longer than I... The thing is, they've given the Grizzled Young Vets very little credibility if you watch on television.
Yeah.
And they just beat these dudes forever before they finally lost. And it was a long match. Long match. We had a long promo with FTR to build up the match with Davis and Doyle. And, you know, basically putting them over, but saying... There's only one FTR, and it's not you guys. So that match is coming up.
So the thing they did, like the smart thing, when you're doing a promo, and the people who you're facing are not over, especially if they're baby faces, the heels should do nothing but build them up. We're still going to beat you, but you just build them up and say how great they are. If you're going against a guy who's super over, you tear him down, because you know. The fans will get behind him. If you tear down unknown guys, or you treat unknown being a weird word. I mean, Doyle is new. Davis has been around, but he hasn't really been super pushed. So, like, if they do angles, physical angles leading to this match, I mean, Davis and Doyle should get the better of most of them, because you got it, you know, this is the opposite of that jet speed that deal with the Hurt Syndicate, where they did it all wrong. But in this case, you know, it's like you got to get people to believe that these guys can win that they don't yet believe in yet. So you got to tell them, you know, like in their big thing, they look like wrestlers unlike these other guys here. And they're like, you know, they could be like the best tag team in the world, or second best tag team in the world, but they'll never beat us. So I thought that from a psychology standpoint, I actually like all three of them. Stokely was very good. Cash was very good. Dax was good. So I thought it was a smart promo segment and basically a good one.
We had Zeta Steel and Marina Shafir.
Yeah, that wasn't particularly good at all.
Which Marina won quickly. Zeta Steel's got a ways to go in the ring, but she's got a lot of charisma, looks good. And they signed her.
Yeah. She's got something for sure. Yeah. If she just needs time, you know. If she can be a good wrestler, she could be a big star, because she's very, you know, in the ring she's got great presence and yeah, good charisma, you know, and everything. She can be a star, but you know, I mean, she's in the ring, not yet there. You know, Marina's the one that they push, but they gave her enough to, or not, I wouldn't say enough in the match, but they're focusing on her. To the point where they want you to, you know, they're not just, you know, like she's not just some bum, so to speak. But Marina's obviously the one being pushed. It was to set up, I don't know what it was to set, you know, just Marina getting a big win, that's all.
We had Don Callis coming out for the next match, and he gets in this argument with Moxie. He's actually trying to be polite to Moxie, but Moxie isn't taking his shit. And they get to bickering, and finally... John's ready to kick this guy's ass, so Callis goes running. John gets up and starts walking to ringside. He gets jumped by Archer and Romero. Huge brawl breaks out. Death Riders and the Callis family. And eventually, Skyflight runs out and hits a big dive to set up the next match. So it's Fletcher, Alexander, and El Clone versus Skyflight. Alexander hit Darius with the trapped arm pile driver, got the pin. This one here is like... On TV, there was no heat for this match.
Yeah, and I mean, Darius once again was really good. He's one of those guys when you watch him. I mean, he's pretty good. You know, because I think the deal is Dante ended up Dante, I think, got pinned right in this one.
I thought they pinned Darius.
I think maybe it was Darius. Yeah, but the you know, Fletcher. Clone wasn't nearly as good as he was with Bandido. With Commander, I should say. So, you know, it was a lot of focus on Alexander because he's wrestling Kenny Omega. He had to get the win. You know, I thought the work in the ring was good.
Then Takeshita comes out and Don's trying to clap for him, but he completely ignores Don, hugs Kyle, raises everybody else's hands, wants nothing to do with Don Callis. And then I swear to God, we have a Roderick Strong promo on Claudio because he's getting the CMLL world title shot. And up walks Mark Briscoe. And he says, we've all been collecting gold lately, but Hologram isn't here because of you, clone. I'm challenging you to a match next week.
Yeah. What?
So they're already going to beat clone?
They kind of have to, don't they?
No, they don't. The only thing that makes sense is for him to go 34-0.
Well,
he's his clone.
He ain't going to go 34-0.
I cannot believe they're already beating this guy.
Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah. What's he even a clone for? What's the point? What's the point of this gimmick?
He's supposed to feud with Hologram.
Yeah, Hologram's not around, so let him go 34-0 so the guy comes back and they're both undefeated. Because they're clones!
Yeah.
Whatever. Well,
that's not his storyline.
Who cares? MJF video package of him defending the title at Limitless Wrestling. He vowed to defend the AEW title all over the world. He's going to be a touring world champion.
You said he's going to be like Buddy Rogers and Ric Flair and all that. So he wrestled Alec Price, and Alec Price and Jordan Oliver were announced on Friday night as signing with AEW. And I know that Alec Price was in a match a couple of weeks ago on, it was taped for Ring of Honor, and people were just raving about his work. And Tony signed him. So, you know, it's a lot of, you know, a lot of guys. I don't know what he's doing with guys, but, you know, I think that there's some mentality right now that, hey, if someone's a really good worker on the indies, you know, like WWE may sign him, so we got to sign him first. That was the old deal with WCW and WWE years ago. Some guys made a lot of money that way because they thought that, on both sides, you know, with the idea that the other side may get you and you're big and muscular. You know, I mean, that's how Bob Sapp got a big contract from WCW, and we never saw him until Japan. And there were several guys like that, you know, that, you know, they looked impressive and you just had to sign them because the other side might get them.
Megan Bain, Penelope Ford versus Danielle, Camella, and Viva Van. Obviously, Megan and Penelope won. They almost killed Danielle Camella with a doomsday device. Absolutely brutal bump. And then out came the Timeless Love Bombs to cut a promo on them. We had a swerve promo backstage where Kevin Knight walked in and basically said, you keep telling me that I'm the future. I'm sick of hearing that. I'm the here and now. Maybe I should start beating more of the present. And Swerve says, that sounds like fighting words, but why don't you go do something of value first? Win the Trios titles tonight. But you know what? You are the future of AEW, the future of the business, future AEW main eventer. It's like, guy didn't want to hear he was a future. You just told him that again.
Yeah, well.
And then Swerve adds, don't take 5 or 6 years to get there.
Yeah. Actually, I thought that was a pretty good line.
And then we had
Anthony. Well, they're wrestling Wednesday.
Yeah. And he did win the Trios titles. Anthony Bowen's Jungle Boy number one contenders match, which Jungle Boy won with the running knee.
I didn't think this match was that good.
Nah.
Well, I mean, it was okay. It was okay, but I just didn't.
Just kind of there.
Yeah, just kind of there.
Had a Death Riders promo, which was very good, where Moxley basically said the Callis family, as far as they go, we always gave them space, live and let live, but after tonight, it's all different. Pac said, who the fuck do you guys think you are? Garcia said, you crossed the line. You know nothing about what it means to be a family. And then Moxley said, of all the bad people in pro wrestling, Don, I'm the worst when I have to be. The feud has begun.
No, that's something that they needed to do.
Then the main event was Hangman and Jet Speed versus Joe, Shabbat, and Hobbs for the AEW Trios titles. And the finish of this match was great. The Hangman Hangman and Speedball get put in chokes by Joe and Shibata. They're both on the mat, simultaneous chokes. Hobbs grabs Kevin Knight, tosses him into the ropes, goes for the power slam, spine buster, but instead, Kevin slides down the back, sunset flip, stacks him and pins him. And I don't know what this crowd just figured. It's just a collision match. There's no chance we're going to see.
Yeah, they went crazy for the finish.
They went nuts for this finish.
Yeah,
this you could hear on any device.
That. I mean, they obviously didn't know that Hobbs was leaving.
No, they did not.
Because if you knew that Hobbs was leaving, you kind of knew the finish.
But they were not expecting that finish at all. And
no. Well, it's a makeshift team. It came out of nowhere. You know what I mean? There was no feud.
Put together an hour earlier.
Yeah.
Actually,
yeah.
less than that, because if this match went on first on Collision...
Yeah, it's probably it was, 45
it was
minutes.
Less. It was like the last 15 minutes of Dynamite they put this match together. Yeah. So they probably had 15-minute makeshift team, goes in the ring, wins the Trios titles. It's a great finish. Great finish to the show.
Good match. You know, good match overall. Hard-hitting, you know.
It's a couple of notes from the SmackDown show.
I like the SmackDown show.
It opened up with a
Drew
promo. Yep. Yeah. He was super
very good promo.
They love this guy, and he is total babyface, and then he turns on the crowd. Screw you guys. You want to jump on the wagon? No one cared when I got fired, when the Bloodline was screwing me, when Punk was screwing me. You guys should just be telling me, thank you, Drew. So, of course, they start chanting, thank you, Drew, because they love this guy. And he mentions Cody Rhodes, says he's added a stipulation to the contract. There will be no rematch. You have to start at the bottom and work your way back up.
Yeah.
So Randy interrupts, says he wants a shot at the title. And then Jacob Fatu storms to the ring, goes after Drew. They brawl to the back. Randy standing there in the ring laughing. Miz sneaks up behind him, gives him the lamest skull-crushing finale you've ever seen in your life. This sets up their qualifier match, which, of course, Randy won with the RKO. So
pretty
he's
quick.
Moving on to the four-way.
Yeah, pretty nothing match, too.
Yeah, he managed to have a nothing match with Randy Orton.
Yeah.
That does not bode well for Miz.
Well,
23-month losing streak in singles matches continues.
But he was still in a world title qualifier.
We had an Elia segment with Drew where he says he's going to beat Sammy and get one step closer to the title. I got to correct this. Drew said, I did not knock out Fatu's teeth, but I will knock out yours.
Yeah.
So they're still doing the deal where nobody knows who attacked Fatu, which Fatu has never made clear, by the way. He's never done the promo saying that, but that is the story they're telling.
And he did it. You know, he did a promo and never brought it up.
Nope. Creepy Wyatt promo. They still got the magic lantern. The
no,
MFTs.
No, no. Solo's got the
yes.
Lantern.
The MFTs have it, and they want it back.
Yeah.
We had Charlotte and Alexa versus Kiana and Julia.
This was not good.
This pretty much sucked.
Yeah,
and
it's not good.
Alexa pinned Kiana with the Sister Abigail.
Yeah, Charlotte was really, really sick. I don't know if that had anything to do with this match.
She was so slow in this match.
Yeah.
And she looked like her knees were killing her.
They could be. You know, I mean,
lots
think
of
about,
moonsaults off the post of the floor are not good for the knees.
Well, think about all the years of between volleyball, cheerleading, gymnastics. You know, being, you know, as long as professional wrestling, she's done a lot of physical stuff to her body over, you know, she was probably doing sports from the age of 5, I would bet, or 6 or 7. I mean, she was doing stuff real, real young. You know, she was like one of those, you know, young girls starting gymnastics, you know, and then, you know, volleyball ended up being her sport, but she did every sport, you know. And so, yeah, I mean, you know, she had the knee surgery recently. But she was sick, you know, she was really sick last week. So, I mean, I don't know. Physically, like, she looked the same to me. It wasn't like she looked, like, gaunt or anything. She looked exactly the same. But, yeah, I didn't think that, yeah, I don't know if it was so much, it wasn't clicking. You know, that was the other, it just wasn't clicking in this match.
And a Cody promo, which was incredible because he's booed. Everyone hates this guy. They're booing him. And then halfway through the promo, he's talking about the Royal Rumble and how men have gone back to back and only one of them has won 3 times. And
yeah.
He then says, London,
you need to have
I want you guys to know you deserve a WrestleMania. And yeah, then he's the biggest babyface on the show.
Oh, they just start cheering him like crazy.
They love this guy. He vows to win the Rumble. Starts to talk about Jacob Fatu. He's going to teach him what a receipt is all about. And beat the brakes off of his car. We had Trick Williams met Cardona in a qualifier. Second week in a row, they have not given Trick an ideal opponent. This match was just there.
Well, Rey Fénix is a great wrestler.
But not for Trick.
You know.
How many matches has Trick had with a luchador in his life? Zero?
I don't know. I don't know. But
I can't think of one.
Yeah. But yeah, this match was just... there again, second week in a row, just there. But Trick was like, the people reacted to both of them like they were stars, but the match itself, not so much.
So Trick, of course, wins. He's moving on to the four-way. And then Trick Williams comes out and attacks Cardona. They do a quick Damian Priest interview about the solo match, and they come back, and Kit is in the ring, and the fans are cheering this guy's name. They're singing his name.
Oh, yeah, they love his song.
They love this guy, and then Jacob Fatu shows up, and he kills his dude, cuts a promo on Cody. Cody hits the ring. We have a big brawl. Gets broken up. Let them fight.
It was Kit Wilson who attacked Cardona, not Trick after the match.
Kit Wilson, yeah. He's still in the ring.
Yeah.
So then Cody and Jacob has been added to Saturday night's main event.
Yeah.
Then we had Damien.
That's interesting. I could see Jacob winning. Because it would make sense if Cody's going to get the title back that, you know, Cody, he could win the Rumble, but I don't think he should. I think that if he's going to qualify, it should be as late as possible, and then that would be the chamber.
We had Damian Priest and Solo in a qualifier. And this was goddamn House of Torture match. Tama Tonga, Tonga Loa, Tala Tonga. Tala Tonga gets ejected, but Tama Tonga and Tonga Loa also hit the apron. They don't get ejected. Priest is distracted. Everybody's hitting all these moves, and then the Wyatts appear on the announce table. They go after the MFTs. We have this giant brawl. No one cares. And then Solo eats South of Heaven, gets pinned. Crowd did pop for the finish. And then Howdy hit the ring to get the lantern back, but Tala returned, laid him out, took the lantern. So,
setting up a tag team title match, which, it's time for the Wyatts to lose. So I don't know which two of the team it's going to be. Maybe probably Tonga and Loa. They're the experienced tag team.
Then we had Drew running into Sammy, and Sammy vowed to win the title. And Drew said, yeah, well, you're going to lose like always. And Sammy says, I'm going to beat Ilya. I'm going to go to Montreal. I'm going to win that match, go to the Rumble, and we'll see each other again. And Drew said, I've beaten you 11 times. You've never beaten me. If you get to the Rumble, nothing's going to change. Sammy says, we'll see.
Yeah. That's interesting. I mean, Sammy should be the one that's made, you know, it makes the most sense.
I can't imagine him losing in Montreal in that four-way.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know if he'll beat Drew at the Rumble. I think probably not, but
that one could go either way. I mean, I would think no, just because it'd be, you know, they may want to just shake things up and be unpredictable and give Sammy his moment. But, you know, normal booking, whatever that means, you know, for Drew to win the title and then lose it again this quick, to me, would be bad. So we'll see.
Then we had Carmelo Hayes Open Challenge. Leon Slater accepted. This was the best match on the show.
Really? I like the Sami Zayn match better.
Really? I thought this match was a lot better.
Yeah.
There was something about that Sami match. He didn't have enough time. And there was a commercial right in the middle. It worked well. But I thought as a match, I thought these guys did a great job. The fans were super into Leon Slater. Well, they were into Carmelo.
The Slater match is 12 minutes and the Sami match was 13. So, you know, it was basically the same time.
I don't know. Maybe there was more commercial time in the Sami match. But anyway, Carmelo gave him a front superplex into a cutter, got the pin. Very good match.
Yeah, real good. Both those matches were really good.
Had a couple of different segments, Gargano and Axiom. They're going to be doing Johnny versus Frazier next week. And after Nathan he Frazier. Beats him, Axiom will get his mask back in a match. Mm-hmm. That's what they're saying. Jordan Grace beat Chelsea Green.
Real quick.
Yeah, it was like 2 minutes of action.
Mm-hmm.
Not much. And Cargill's at ringside. So Jordan Jade for the titles coming up. Jordan cuts a promo on Jade. Chelsea tries to attack her, but Jordan moves. Chelsea accidentally bumps Jade off the apron, so Jade's probably going to kill her next week. And then we'll get to Jordan and Jade. Trick Williams promo. Priest showed up. Next Friday, SmackDown. It will be Priest and Trick. It's an interesting match.
It's a real interesting match as far as probably DQ maybe.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect to finish there. And then, Sami Zayn and Ilya Dragunov. I think the problem was I was expecting like a 30-star match with these guys, and it wasn't that good. I feel like they could have a much better match than the one that they had.
I thought that match was really good. I thought all action. Dragunov's great, you know. I mean, Sammy's great with the right opponent, and he had the right opponent. I thought the match was really good.
Felt like they were kind of rushed for time there at the end. They did go 3 minutes past the top of the hour. Sammy hit the kick, got the pin. It's Sammy, Trick, Randy, and Priest. Saturday night's main event in Montreal. And then Trick attacked Sammy afterwards and laid him out. So that's how the show went off the air.
Mm-hmm.
So Saturday night's main event, we do have three official matches now. The Rhea Ripley, Io Sky against Liv and Roxanne for the women's tag titles. Cody and Jacob. And the Damian Priest, Randy Orton, Sami Zayn, and Trick Williams match. Winner gets Drew at the Royal Rumble. The Raw show on Monday. CM Punk and Finn Balor for the world title. Should be a good match.
Yeah, should be. Especially they'll have a really hot crowd. It'll be interesting because does Finn just go out there and let everyone cheer him, or does he have to do the Drew thing where he makes sure that everyone, you know, insults the fans? And Becky the same way, because the fans are going to want to cheer Becky over Maxine Dupri.
Becky and Maxine again for the Intercontinental title.
Mm-hmm.
Javon Evans versus El Grande Americano.
Mm-hmm.
Got Rey Mysterio, Penta, and Dragon Lee versus Theory, Reed, and Logan Paul.
That should be really good.
And Gunther will open up the show.
Mm-hmm.
And then NXT, Briggs and Shiloh Hill in a ladder match qualifier. Eli Knight and Sean Legacy in a ladder match qualifier. That could be a really good match. That Eli Knight was on NXT a few months ago. He looked awesome. Got beat. Sean Legacy's really good. That could be a good match. Ethan Page and Ilya LaFleur could be a good match.
Yeah, that should be really good.
North American title. And for the knockouts, tag titles, Sol and Zarya, Fatal Influence, and Kendall and Ren Sinclair. Number one contendership for the knockouts tag titles.
That should be good, too.
And then for Dynamite.
Dynamite's got a pretty loaded lineup.
This escalated quickly. It's already the Death Riders and the Don Callis family in a street fight.
Yeah.
So, shot that angle on a collision that probably nobody watched, and now we're doing the street fight.
Yeah.
Mina and Tony versus Megan and Penelope also set up on collision. Joe and Speedball. Strickland and Kevin Knight. Kenny Omega versus Josh Alexander. And MJF will be live on the show. So actually, there's a lot of big shows coming up over the next several days. So we're going to wrap it up for here, but we'll be back after Raw tomorrow night. Dave and Garrett did the second Hall of Fame show on Friday with some special guests, so if you want to check that one out. New Observer is out. There's a new back issue up on the front page. And lots of shows, so check it out. Enjoy the holiday tomorrow, and we'll talk to you again after a while.